week, we're going to bust out beyond verse 4, and our goal is to get through verse 8. I probably told you that there have been churches that have there was a pastor that stayed in Romans, the book of Romans, for I think 8 or 9 years. So I move a little faster than that, as you have learned. But there's a lot of meat on the bone, so but we don't want to take it all off because I want you to be intrigued still when you go home so you start digging for yourself. So we'll leave some things uncovered. There is therefore, and the reason why we want to I'm just going to touch the first frame again, the first verse again. There's therefore now no condemnation. And it literally could be translated, not even a little bit. And it's hard for you to imagine this, but because we have these guilt feelings within us. We have unredeemed members. Our bodies are yet unredeemed. One day, when we see Jesus for the second time, he's coming back, not for sin, as he says in the tail end of Hebrews 9. He's coming back for all of those. Let's look at it. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after that the judgment." But the very next verse is the one that's least paid attention to. It says, "So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, which he did the first time, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." And why should you eagerly wait for him? Because your citizenship is in heaven. Though all of your business dealings right now are in Delta County, your family is going to reassemble, though, the family of faith in heaven, although you're dealing with family down here on earth. Your work for all eternity will be in heaven, although most of you work and toil down here on earth. And so it's hard for us to keep in our minds the idea that this, like the song says, this earth is not my home. I'm just a passing through. So that's why I'm reminding you. This earth isn't your home. I know you pay taxes here. Some of you pay untoward amounts of property taxes. I know you work hard. I know some of you work very hard, several hours a week, more than 40. But the day is coming when you will be redeemed. And the sin life that is within our members will be extricated out of us. And we will be given a glorified body, the scripture says, like unto Jesus Christ. Are you waiting for that? Can I cause you to look more eagerly today towards the day when you'll be redeemed from here? I hope so. It's my goal. "Is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." There's no half measure here. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. And you're in Christ if you have come to him and you have repented. It says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth," Romans 10:9, "the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." You say, "Well, I don't know how that happens." Well, he declares us saved by faith. And we'll see that as we continue. "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." And the law referred to there is a given principle that moves ahead, that acts uniformly. There's a principle of sin and death that moves against you uniformly. Just as there is a principle of life in Christ Jesus that moves in your life uniformly. If there was not the law of the Spirit of life in you, that is the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit indwelling you and working in the present tense continually, his methods, his desire. You say, well, what is he doing? Well, every desire you have to do good, all the energy to do what is right comes from God, the Holy Spirit. The scripture says in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not you. Your desire to do right comes from God, the Holy Spirit living within you. The energy, the strength to do right comes from God, the Holy Spirit living within you. However, your unredeemed body, your flesh here, when we see the word flesh, means your evil nature. So translate in your mind all the times we encounter the word flesh, we'll see it a few times today, is pointing at, is talking about, is referring to your evil nature. So you have an evil sin nature within you, living alongside of the new nature. And the evil sin nature is arguing for its space. It's working at loggerheads against your spirit. It's making suggestions like the dirty old man in the back seat of the car. And it's saying, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do this? Everything that you know you shouldn't do. And that's, however, God's spirit is inside of us arguing the other side of things, is lobbying for shelf space, its shelf space, to be dominant. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Weakened by our evil nature, could not do. Well, what could not the law do? In Galatians 3:21, it tells us plainly and directly what the law could not do. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But there was no law that could give life. So the law was weakened by the evil nature. It could not. So the law can convict, and the law can condemn, but the law cannot dethrone itself. So in order for the law, which purpose was to identify sin and agitate it and expose it, that was the purpose of the law, it could not do the next thing. It could not get out of the way. It could not take death off the throne, the principle of sin and death off the throne. So God had to come up with a remedy. For God has done what the law weakened by flesh could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin. So let's look at that. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. This is the writer of Hebrews quoting from Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. But Hebrews 10, 5 through 7 reads, consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. God prepared a body. And that body, of course, was the body that Jesus Christ was incarnated into. And he sent that body to condemn sin in the flesh. He gave us his humanity. He gave him humanity and caused him to die in our place. In Psalm 40, where he was quoting from, it's written a little bit different, but it uses a Hebrew idiom, 46 through 8. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, Psalm 40, verse 6, but you have given me an open ear. Now, in the Hebrews passage that's quoting this passage from Psalm 40, he says, you've prepared a body. Well, in Hebrew, the ear the parts are to the body as the body is to the parts. So the ear, if I hear and I correctly obey, then I give my whole self to whatever the process is. And that's why it's said differently, but it's aiming at the same thing. So he prepared Jesus, and he punished and condemned sin in his flesh, so that it cannot ever be condemned in us. So we are not looking for judgment from God any longer, but we are looking for something else. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it tells us what we're looking forward to. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says that we're all going to stand before the Lord one day and give an account for what we have done in the flesh. For we must all appear, 2 Corinthians 5:10, before the judgment seat of Christ, called the Bema seat, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. You will not be standing before the judgment seat of Christ if you've accepted Christ for condemnation of your sin. You will stand before him to be evaluated for rewards. And it will be done this way in 1 Corinthians 4:5. If you have used duplicity or have fooled us all, 1 Corinthians 4:5 sobers that whole idea. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time. Do not, as humans, judge with all finality. Pronounce judgment with all finality as though we have the final word. Do not pronounce judgment before the time, because there's one that will pronounce final judgment before the Lord comes. Who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart? Why did you build that at the church? Why did you teach that Sunday school class? Preacher, why did you preach that sermon? And were you just preaching to them and not to yourself? Did you also have an open heart? Were you just trying to promote an idea and cause a reaction that you weren't willing to take yourself? God is going to evaluate all of that. So we look forward to that. We no longer have to pay attention to anything regarding relative to punishment for our sins, because Jesus was punished for us. So he sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh in order, verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh. And the word walk there means order your conversation, order your actions, order your thoughts. Who walk not according to the flesh. Only those who have been redeemed can order their steps rightly. Only those that have been redeemed can order their conversation, their way of life, their actions away from the flesh and in the spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Now he's speaking about unbelievers, verses 5 through 8. Unbelievers are dominated by the flesh. That is the evil nature. They have no other option. For those who live according to the flesh, they live according to it because it's the only rule in their life. Set their minds on the things that the flesh / evil spirit is suggesting and doing and implicating and requiring. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Those who, because they've been set at liberty. For to set the mind, verse 6, on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. What's the life and peace? It's two parties, you and I, that have been brought back together. We were at enmity with God. There was no peace between you and God, between us and God. And now there is a peace. We've been brought back together by the Lord Jesus Christ. The wall that was between you and God and inhibiting a relationship with you has been destroyed. For the mind that is set, verse 7, on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. You cannot submit a person who's dominated by their evil nature to God. It's like oil and water. You can't mix the two. So let me say this to you today. If you're here today and you have not bent your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. You're either going to do it on this side of the earth, or you're going to do it down below the dirt. Eventually, you're going to do it. Everyone's going to be resurrected for judgment. You'll either have confessed him as your Lord and lived that way while you're on this side of the ground, or later on when you're resurrected, you will admit that he's Lord. So if you're here today and you have not given your lives to him, and Jesus went about, by the way, making disciples, didn't he? He went about choosing people and calling people. He was not looking for people to raise their hand at a meeting in Ford River to say, yeah, okay, I believe now. He was looking and desiring and seeking to make followers, disciples. And so that's what the invitation is that I'm promoting today, that I'm giving to you today. If you want to become his follower, not a professor, but a follower, then please come and see me at some point, or call me, or see some of those that you know in this room are on that same road, the road that you desire to go on now. Boast not yourself of tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1, for thou knowest not what another day may bring. Another day may bring paralysis. Another day may have a car broadsiding you, illegally running through an intersection. And now your prerogative is taken away. Now your ability to make a decision is taken away. Now whatever the trajectory you were on prior to that accident is the direction you're headed in, and you're stuck there. Boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you don't know what another day may bring. Your heart may stop today. I was reading about a man who was on stage at some concert. He died in the middle of verse 6 or something, and he just dropped his head. He had his guitar in his hand, his guitar still in his hand, and they thought he was pausing, they thought he was praying, and finally they went up and discovered he died. Maybe you're going to die before we're done here. Should smile. Be good, you know. Go home, to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, right? But make sure that that's the case. Make sure that if you draw your last breath today, that's where you're going. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We live very busy lives, you and I. We're bombarded by the internet, we're bombarded by movies, we're bombarded by music, television, responsibilities. Everything that we touch has the ability to draw us in and take our hearts away. You can be sucked into the machine and stay looking at a screen all day. You can get trapped in the lyrics of certain kinds of music, and it can pull you down a thought path that leads you to actions you would have never contemplated if you meditate there too long. You can watch the wrong kind of images in a movie and have your flesh, your evil nature, so riled up that it begins to dominate. And the scripture here talks about if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We have a decision to make. We have to decide who's going to be in charge. We have to decide to touch very lightly the things of this world so that we can stay separate and live holy before our Lord. So the call really is to us to do that. Now I want to show you some things in closing that are passively written in the passive voice so that you don't get the idea that all of what I'm talking about is something you need to go home now and add just a little bit more self-effort to. There's some things that God has done for you, and that's why they're written in the passive voice, because it's something that you can't do for yourself. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 22, I'll start in 21, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless above reproach before him. That's done. That's said in the passive voice. It's not anything you could have done. Did you offer Jesus' body? No. God offered Jesus' body to set you free, you who were once alienated against God, to tear down that wall and cause you, to tee you up in a place where, in a condition, in a setting, whereby you can live holy lives hereafter. That's something only God can do. In Ephesians 2:10 it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that you should walk in them." Did you decide what works you should walk in? No. Which God before ordained that you should walk in them. What are those works? You should ask him. But know this, that he has prescribed works for you. He did it. We are his workmanship. He made you, and he has plans for you. So are you following him? The believer makes a choice, though. You're not off the hook. You decide who wins. We've always said this, the flesh lusts against the spirit. That is, the evil nature lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the evil nature. And these two are in a constant contrary attitude of opposition to one another. The believer decides the tiebreaker. Walk in the spirit, do the things that the Bible prescribes, and you will not fulfill, because you won't have time, because you'll be going down a different road, you will not fulfill the lusts of the evil nature or the flesh. And that's enough for today. Thank you, Lord God, for your love for us. The fact that we don't have any condemnation or judgment, no condemnatory meeting is awaiting us when we leave this world, because you condemned our sin in your son's body on a tree, and we thank you for that. We thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit, the life of the Holy Spirit now working in us, giving us the energy, the strength, the desire, and the will to do of your good pleasure. We pray that you would cause us to order our conversation to walk, to order our conversation in such a way that our thoughts and our actions glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stay standing for, or let's